Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Pleasure, an intimate guide to loving your body and having great sex. By Laura Delorado. Read by Sierra Klein. Publisher's note. In this audio edition, you may hear references to visual elements present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Intro. Pleasure. A state of gratification, a sensual joy, a frivolous amusement, the sensation when something feels good. There are plenty of ways to define the word pleasure. We all know what it is, but the practical application of pleasure is a lesson we glossed over on our way to developing nerve endings, sex organs, wet dreams, boners, hard nipples, and of course, masturbating against the high-pressure shower spray. A favorite. We develop. We're taught through any means we can find. Old Playboys for me. And then, one day, we find we are adults with a sex life in which we're not able to ask a partner to swirl their tongue the way we want them to. Things I learned in high school sex ed. Women who put on too much makeup are asking for it. Boys will be boys. Time of the month is how you respectfully talk about menstruation. Sex is just for making babies. Contracting an STI means you're dirty. Condoms are unnecessary because pregnancy is something the girls want, and STIs are impossible if you're monogamous. Being aroused just means you need to exercise. Eye roll. The pill makes you unattractive and messes up your hormones for life. Marital rape is impossible. Blue balls are very dangerous, so if you say you're having sex, you need to follow through. Note: none of this is true. Another note: all of this is garbage. Another note: we all deserve a lot better than this. Also, hi. I'm Laura. I'll be the one guiding you through this book I've written about the abundant glory that is sexual pleasure and its positive effects on every aspect of your life. My teen self is shocked that adult me is writing this book for you. Well, actually, I'm not that surprised that I spent a ton of time researching and categorizing sex toys. Get ready for chapter 4, babes. Mainly, I'm shocked that, with my collective history as a struggling plus-size person, I found a way through it all to become an expert on the subject. But mostly, I feel really proud that this book gets to be both something for you in your pleasure and body love journey, and something that culminates years of working on my own experience for me. My relationship to my body and pleasure starts around age 12, when I grew boobs, got my period, shot up to around 5'7", and developed hips and a belly that pressed against my Spice Girls t-shirts. I felt like a monster, fully overgrown, and an incredible sore thumb compared to the rest of my peers. My body looked more mature than I was ready for, and the attention given to me was simultaneously painful and confusing. I was being praised for having boobs by men twice my age, something I thought, at the time, was my only output into the world, while being told my body was a disgusting, excessive bag of period blood, sweat, acne, and blubber by magazines, TV shows, every single movie, family members, and every peer that happened to be thin enough to shop at Fashion Bug while I browsed the accessories. I was Ursula. I was Fat Monica. I was every chubby girl who made an excuse to not go to the pool party. I was the sidekick and never the love interest. It didn't help that my childhood was a wishy-washy world of instability as I went back and forth between my Italian grandparents' house in the Bronx, where they would withhold pasta from my plate because I was too chubby, and my mother's house in Virginia, where she drank more than she ate and refused to let me be anything other than a kid on a diet. In fact, I don't remember a moment during that time where I wasn't trying to find ways to be smaller. I remember going into a dressing room with my mother when I was 12, as she tried to squeeze me into a skirt much smaller than my preteen body, and exclaiming for the entire dressing room to hear, "Laura, you've got to lose some of this weight." My weight was a constant problem for everyone else, even for my younger brother, who one day, during the summer, brought me outside to our concrete backyard in the Bronx and insisted I do sprints so that he didn't go to high school with a fat sister. Honestly, I don't blame them. Not because they were right. They weren't. But because they were doing what they thought was right. None of us were taught to love ourselves. None of us understood the impacts of negative self-image. None of us had the language to express the connection between loving your body and experiencing pleasure. And as a result, from that point, I desperately wanted to be thin. I spent ages 12 to 26 as an on-again, off-again bulimic, with a tendency toward crash dieting, Weight Watchers, and phentermine. And it bled into my adult life. As a kid, I would brush it off like there was something wrong with me. But as an adult, I have found myself distrusting others who show me affection, feeling like I don't deserve pleasure, and being at a full-blown war with my body when I'm hungry. Things told to me by doctors about my weight. Maybe if you laid off the candy, you would lose weight, and that cough would go away. Age 13. To be healthy, you need to starve yourself. Age 18. If you strive for 1 pound a week, you'll be 10 pounds thinner before school starts in the fall. Age 20. I don't have to tell you that you don't look very healthy, right? Age 26. Did 16-year-old Laura know that adult Laura would be sitting at her desk most nights telling people to love themselves? No. She was too entangled in a chaotic environment, being swallowed by her own eating disorder, to ever think she'd make it through college. She was dyeing her hair green with Kool-Aid and trying to match her voice to the monotone stylings of Daria. She wasn't applying herself because she didn't think she had anything to offer. Right around the age of 25, I was living in a shoebox in Brooklyn and paying $500 in rent with four other roommates and a dog. I was getting my master's degree in media and production at the New School in the West Village and freelancing at night at MTV2. It was this serendipitous moment in my life when I needed a job close to school so I could easily pick up shifts to pay my rent and continue to take classes that I found a job at the famous sex toy store, The Pleasure Chest. The Pleasure Chest looked like a fun place to spend time that didn't involve school or production sheets or four roommates and a dog, though I do love dogs. It was a bit of a safe haven for me. A place where I got to learn about pleasure for all bodies and people. A place where it wasn't weird to ask questions. At the Pleasure Chest, I read every book on the shelves, watched every porn video, learned about every product, and understood what it meant to be body positive, sex positive, and confident. But I still didn't know how to put it into action for myself. Then, everything changed. I was invited to a drink and draw class at a plus-size vintage store in downtown Brooklyn. I still remember walking in, finding a seat with my art supplies, and being totally struck by the model. A fat, queer dream who owned the platform they stood on, fully nude and covered in pearls, feathers, and bright red lipstick. A self-identified fat person who didn't care if the position of their body or the fullness of their size was seen as disruptive by popular society. It was that moment when I realized everything in my life needed to be different. I remember saying to myself, "This is no way to live. This is a way to die." Even after that point, it took me a really long time to discover that my body wasn't a problem, that there wasn't a thin woman dying to come out so I could start my life. No matter how much weight I lost or how many times I went to the gym, it didn't matter if I didn't learn to love and accept myself from the inside out. The confidence it takes to make decisions based on your own needs, where the clothing you want to wear, feel comfortable with your naked body, or even jump on top of your partner without concern over cellulite or belly rolls has nothing to do with losing weight or fixing yourself to match a beauty standard. You can't buy confidence at the grocery store. You have to confront what you've learned, smash it, and rebuild a better foundation. And that foundation of body love, acceptance, and confidence, my dear listener, is essential to a healthy sex life. My ideal grocery store. There would be diverse images in each aisle. Fat-free would be taken off every package. The person with the samples would hand out an array of options that suits your hunger at that moment. Flyers for therapy and self-help groups would be on prominent display for anyone struggling with body image or dysmorphia. There would be zero GMOs, artificial sweeteners, pesticides, or harmful preservatives that involuntarily heighten or crash your mood. Cashiers would remind you that you're royalty and deserve the best this world has to offer. This book is dedicated to that moment where you, me, all of us, realize we deserve the best this life has to offer. My pleasure is about celebrating positive body image and personal pleasure in order to achieve an amazing solo and partnered sex life. This book will be one part deeply explorative. It will reconnect you to how you feel about your body and help you think positively about your body. And the other part, serviceable. Each chapter includes activities and actionable ways to find pleasure by yourself and or with a partner or partners. Throughout it all, I will be here, guiding the way and sharing fun tidbits from my own life and sex life. So, now we're here. What's next? Well, listening to a book about pleasure in various forms is deeply intimate, almost like getting to know someone. You could even say we're BFFs. And because we've entered into this book relationship, we're going to get to know each other pretty intimately over the next 200-some-odd pages. But first, let me tell you what I'm bringing to the table. Hot tip: the My Pleasure Code. When you feel good about your body, you feel good about your choices. And when you feel good about your choices, you can feel good about your pleasure. I'm a body image and sexual wellness advocate, working and writing in the industry for the last 10 years, which is honestly so wild to think about. I'm a Pisces, which apparently means something really cool according to all the apps that send me mystical notifications. When I get a haircut, I always base it on an era. I've been living in the 90s for quite a while now. I have a bachelor's degree in English journalism and a master's degree in media studies, but honestly, does that even matter anymore? I have an absurd amount of art supplies, and I've always loved books that break away from the words and check in on the audience. Hello, how are you? Do we need a sip of water for this part? You'll find that a lot of what I do in this book is present an idea that you can apply to your life, and then check in with what's going on with you. When I was given the opportunity to write this book, I thought long and hard, LOL, about how I wanted this book to feel, how I wanted people to use it, how I wanted each paragraph and chapter to sound the moment it was finished. While it is a guidebook of sorts, my hope is that this book is also fun to listen to and to use. After all, it is literally all about your pleasure. Well, my pleasure, but you get the point. We'll break down why pleasure is so important, why you deserve it, and the many ways to get it and to get off. Sometimes you need someone to champion you. Let me and this book do that for you. Before we go down this road together and form a bond through words, here are some things to expect from me and this book, and what I expect from you. What to expect from me. I love every punny bit of ridiculousness that comes with writing anything about bodies and sex and vulvae and penises. But even with the puns, You can expect me to be conscious of gender, identity, and pronouns throughout the book. It's important to me that anyone and everyone, people who identify as queer or straight, people who are transgender or cisgender or gender nonconforming, people of size, people who don't identify with plus size, people from all racial backgrounds, people with different levels of ability, people from different social and economic backgrounds can find themselves within this book. I'm not always going to know all the answers, but I will do my best to help you figure them out. I have a fairly sunny disposition, in contrast with some real moments. If I can impart one lesson right at the top, it would be that not every day is going to be a good body image day. What I expect from you. Modify what you need. You don't have to jump right into an activity or adopt advice if it's uncomfortable. All I ask is that you take a moment to question that discomfort and where it comes from. Be honest with yourself. Does it feel good to do XYZ? If not, why not? Contradictions will happen. The world is filled with them. It's okay to feel one way about one thing and another way about another thing. Give yourself room to grow and form a personal, well-thought-out opinion. No settling. If you're going to do something, let it be grand. Hold space for yourself to find what you need from this book. If you don't know an answer, that's okay. You can always come back to it. After so many years of being at war with my body and finding it difficult to experience pleasure in so many ways, I dedicated my entire soul to being an authority on the subject of pleasure to anyone who would listen to me. Welcome to my pleasure, babes. This one's for you. Getting to know you. Like I said, use this book in whatever way you need. If you want to take notes, skip around, jump ahead, or even start your own little companion notebook to use with the exercises, be my guest. For right now, just get to know a bit about who you are so that you never stray from yourself throughout the journey. Following are some questions. Find a relaxing space with a beverage. May I suggest a peppermint tea with lemon? My favorite. And take some time to get to know yourself. What is your name? Do you love your name? Why or why not? Where are you from? What are some activities you like to do that make you feel happy? Is there a person or character you really identify with? Why? Who are the people or characters you most admire and why? Who in your life doesn't make you feel great? How so? When was the last time someone made you feel uncomfortable? What happened? Describe a meal. Any meal that makes you feel good. It can be an elaborate one. What era do you love the most? Why? When was the last time you felt sexy? What was happening? 1. Welcome to your body. Hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good day. Welcome to chapter numero uno, where we start this bad boy and get down to the nitty-gritty of pleasure, self-love, and great sex. First off, if you were expecting a book where we go over the hottest sex positions and the best ways to please your partner, sorry to tell you, this isn't it. Let me redirect you to another book aisle. If you're still with me, and I hope you are, this book is very much intended to get at the root of your pleasure. And believe it or not, that all comes from within. And while I love a sex position chat or a how-to on doing that little thing with your tongue to send them over the edge, my top priority is for you to love your body and live a pleasurable life, which, in turn, will give you the confidence to try those sexual techniques and positions with more self-assurance. First, we have to connect with ourselves and learn to love our quirks. The hot sex and self-love will follow. As much as I want to say, do these 5 things to achieve maximum pleasure. I have to be honest, it takes a lot of mental work, some unlearning and relearning, and some trust before we can really love ourselves fully and thus experience uninhibited pleasure. And that's okay. There are going to be bad days, awful days, days in which seeking self-love in any form is going to feel like a waste of time. But I promise, no matter how comfortable it is to hate ourselves, as we've been trained to do, it's so much brighter on the other side, even on a cloudy day. What's your story? Our bodies are so interesting and weird and exciting and soft, a vessel that moves us from place to place, an ever-changing figure that inherits specific genetic traits from our family line, a frame that we maintain and take care of when it's sick or hurt or run down. Our bodies hold our memories, too. Any experienced microaggressions, traumas, pleasures, and joys, they are a blueprint of our lives. As we get older, we grow and mature. But our past has an interesting way of worming into our present and affecting our self-image, and it's helpful to be aware of that. Every single time we get naked, are intimate, connect with ourselves, or trust others, we are laying bare our insecurities and self-confidence. Our personal history creates a conscious, and a lot of times unconscious, rubric for how we handle everything, especially our sex lives and our self-love. When we don't know our history or our triggers, it's significantly more difficult to embrace who we are and what we want, and to make considerate and smart decisions. Let's take a moment to reflect on our story and identify what bothers us, what triggers us, and what sends us down a negative path. Then, taking all of that into account, let's devise an action plan to take care of ourselves. Life story map. If I were to ask you to write out the bullet points of your life story, what would that list look like? What are the particular memories and moments that have created, changed, or disrupted the person you are today? Basically, what were the key milestones that built you? The list can be as serious or as fun as you make it, as long as it comes from an honest place. But spend no more than 15 minutes on the subject, and maybe plan to do something kind for yourself afterward. While this can be a really intriguing exercise to understand your life story, it can also bring up some traumatic memories for some, and we certainly want to refrain from getting sucked into that sensory detail. Take this short time to write out those bullet points in your life. To know thyself is to love thyself, and we're on a mission to be self-loving. Who were you as a kid? We are the past, present, and future versions of ourselves in every single moment of our lives. Looking at our lives holistically like this can help explain our reactions and feelings in any given situation. Even if our emotional maturity is at an all-time high, the childish versions of ourselves can come out when we get overwhelmed, caught off guard, scared, or frustrated. Next time you get upset, take note of the emotions, actions, and reactions that come through when your guard is down. Got them? Great. Write them down. Here are some of mine. I stomp my feet when I get frustrated. I'm a woman in my 30s. Cool. I will tear up when I get overwhelmed. My therapist says this is because I never had a childhood and didn't develop good coping mechanisms. Psh, whatever. Tears. My first reaction is to be very mean when someone crosses me, kind of like a kid on a playground. See previous. Got your list? Perfect. Now we can start to look for patterns when those feelings show up. For the next week or two, every time you feel these feelings, take note of when they occur and why. What causes these feelings to surface? You can even input each entry into a calendar. If you're like me, the calendar is fully color-coded. After keeping track for a period of time, see if you can spot any connections. Maybe you hadn't eaten when those reactions happened. Maybe it was after a difficult conversation with a family member. Maybe you were simply tired. But now you know, and you can better counteract those reactions with data. Think of this as getting to know yourself on a deeper, more intimate level. We all want to be hot babes living as our truest selves, asking for what we want, getting what we deserve, and accomplishing our dreams, all while having earth-shattering orgasms. Yes to all of this. But we must consider our backstory. Not because we can't have all that good stuff without a particular backstory. Not at all. Rather, because who we are, how we act, and how we feel about ourselves and our bodies is shaped by those rise-to-the-occasion moments in our past. Exhibit A. Adults who had negative experiences in their childhood, from peer bullying to their parents' divorce to exposure to aggressive adult figures, have higher anxiety, lower understanding of their needs, and a greater likelihood of unsatisfying sex. Exhibit B. Childhood neglect has long-term effects on adulthood, making it difficult to trust others, stay connected, and ask for what we need. Exhibit C. Adolescent and childhood dieting take a huge mental toll on a developing brain. Teaching kids to control their appearance leads to disordered eating, food guilt, and poor self-worth and self-esteem. You get the point. Even if you didn't experience this severity of trauma in your childhood, we all have negative lived experiences that imprint on our brains. And after all that, we still think we can just go on our merry way and be confident and start developing our own sense of pleasure and acceptance and excellent sex lives without considering what has been impacted in the process. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. We first have to come to terms with our story and make the necessary changes to our perspectives in order to get us to a better mental place where we can love ourselves. How to process. I'm not a doctor or therapist or someone who collects data, but I'm fairly certain if you're a person who is breathing, you have experienced some form of suffering. Consider collective trauma. Hello, COVID-19. These kinds of difficult experiences manifest in different ways in each of us and can cause both physical and mental harm when left unprocessed. The negative impact of these experiences isn't just in your head. They can leave an imprint on your body and or your brain, which is why it's really important for you to find the best way to feel mentally sound. Therapy is great. Telehealth is fantastic. Finding groups, taking prescribed medication, having a list of people to talk to, taking walks, journaling, practicing yoga, creating spiritual rituals, and soaking in some vitamin D can help you process your past so you can freely live your future. Recognizing your emotional triggers. Identify topics or people who make you feel uncomfortable. Are there people or social media accounts that you compare yourself to? Why? What is that internal conversation like? Sure, you can unfollow the account, but we want to get to the heart of why it makes you feel uncomfortable, so you have that reference for yourself. Let's say a friend has some great news to share. You're super happy, but you're feeling very, why not me, about it. What is the news? In other words, what are the topics that can make you feel a bit emotional and intense? Rethink, revise, rewrite for the future. The past is the past is the past, and there is nothing we can do about our lived experiences. What we can do is go for better next time. Here are a few ways we can learn from the past so we can live better in the future. 1. Reflect, but don't obsess. Give yourself a short time limit to engage in that reflection. 2. Study the moment, but try not to judge. 3. Take someone else's position. In the heat of the moment, it's impossible to see anyone else's point of view. Once you have some distance, try to reflect on the experience, without judgment, from another POV. 4. Remember it and release it. That moment will always be etched in your memory, but the associated emotions don't have to be. Write the memory on a piece of paper. Say it out loud, then
Sample complete. Ready to continue?